So no long sermons, Pastor Doug, just a short short message tonight. So you all getting in faith with me now? You know. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that your word is truth and that your word feeds our spirit and brings life to us, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for that. For you said thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto our path. Lord, enlighten us tonight. Let your word come alive to us. Let the truths that we've been looking at be ever more real. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, we've been talking a little bit about some of the names of Satan, and I think I've got about where we want to be. I think there was one more, but which I'll share just a little bit. We were talking about, I think we left off here with the dragon and the old serpent, right, over there in Revelation 12. And we saw the dragon, which is mentioned there in Revelation 12 and Revelation 20. And it also says that old serpent, who is the devil, who beguiled Eve. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11:3. And we saw here, it says, "But I fear lest somehow the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness," or his subtlety, I think the King James says, either one, "so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." In other words, his job is what? That of a deceiver. That old serpent, the devil, is one of his names. And he comes to deceive. And we said he deceived Adam and Eve, of course, in the garden, because he is sly and he is crafty and he has plans for you. I remember, I know what Pastor Allen says, you know, like he's got a 1-year plan for you and a 5-year plan and a 10-year plan and a 20-year plan and a 30-year plan to try to stop you and neutralize your ability to be productive and beneficial in the kingdom. See, he can't do much. You got born again. You received Jesus as Lord. But he comes to try to stop us and deceive us and get us to believe things that are not so about who you are. See, he thinks he knows who he is. He forgot he's been defeated, see. He was cast down to this lower earthly realm. Remember that? He's the God or the prince of the power of the air. He just kind of has to mosey around down here. Amen. He's like a lion. He is not a lion, but he's as. And he's got a lot of roar in him, but not a lot of bite, right? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And we can defeat him because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. All right. He's also known as the wicked one or Belial, Matthew 13:19. Now remember, some of these names show where his position is. We also know it shows his what? His character and his ways. You know, so the wicked one. We know that he brings wickedness for sure. It says when, 13:19. Wait a minute, is that 13:19? 12. Yeah, okay. I got the right scripture here. It says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then what? The wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside." The wicked one, talking about Satan, the enemy, the devil. One of his things is that he comes to steal. We said last week, John 10:10, what? Steal, kill, destroy. And here he's trying to steal. He comes in as a wicked one to steal the word of God from our heart. So, well, how does he do that? When we don't fully allow it to percolate in our spirit and gain the understanding of it, then we become susceptible to having it stolen from us. See, we can hear the word of God, but many times we need to continue to hear, because why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And sometimes we have to hear it over and over and get our mind renewed to that truth so that we understand it. And when we gain the understanding in it, nobody, not even the wicked one himself, can come and steal it from us, because God places it down on the inside of our heart. We take a hold of it and we do not let go, because we know in whom we believe. We have decided this word of God is the truth, and I am not going to let it go. It cannot lie. It is truth. It is the truth above any fact that may be in this world, because how many know? Facts and circumstance are subject to what? They're subject to change to what the truth of the word of God is. Amen? But that wicked one, he is not going to win. Hallelujah. In some places it's translated Belial, in many places the evil one, in John 17:15. And he comes to try to steal that word. Hallelujah. Let's look over here also in 1 John 5. Let's look at the one in 1 John 5:18. I'm on a time schedule tonight. Praise the Lord. I can feel Him pacing me. Amen. That's what Pastor Dave would say. So I'm believing. That's where my faith is. He's pacing me. Holy Ghost, you're pacing me. You help me. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. See, we keep ourselves, amen, when we guard our own heart. The wicked one, he cannot touch us. Glory to God. Good news, the evil one, he cannot take advantage of us. He cannot just come and deceive you. You see, that's the whole problem with deception, is when you get deceived, you don't know you're deceived. That's the whole point. If you knew you were deceived, then what? You would not be deceived, would you? So he always comes and brings a lie. But how many know? You don't just bring, he doesn't just show up in his, as we said last week, in his proverbial devil suit, does he? He doesn't come out with the pitchfork and a tail and, you know, his horns there on his head. Because if he comes to you like that, you say, oh, I know who he is. That's the devil. No, he comes with a half-truth, doesn't he? Which is a lie. But he mixes it with some truth. See, if you want to poison a dog, you wouldn't just give the dog poison. You'd mix it in a nice piece of meat, wouldn't you? Mix it up real good. Oh, yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. See, he just puts a little poison in there. Why? Because he wants you to accept it and receive it. But we're not going to be touched by the wicked one when we are sincere. We're guarding our heart. Amen. Continuing to be on guard against him. That is verse 18 there. We know that whoever's born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Because it goes on. It says, we know that we're of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Amen. They lie under his sway, don't they? He can sway them. Anybody see the world? They're easily swayed. Why? They're under the wicked one. They're under the enemy's hand. Not yet born again. Praise the Lord. All right. And there are people who get under his sway, don't they? They're in Romans. Let's look at Romans real quick for a minute. I want to just share one scripture, and then we'll get, well, I got one more point I'm going to make, and I think maybe Joseph can splice this in with the names of Satan. I don't know. But whatever he can do, praise the Lord. We'll work at it, brother. But here's someone, it says here, let's just start at verse 28 and read through 32 here. And here it kind of talks about someone that may be under the sway or under the control of the wicked one. It says Romans 1:28. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice, who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Anybody know anybody like that? They do some of those things, but oh, that's all right, they can do whatever they want. But that's someone that's under the sway or under the control, right, of the wicked one. All right, one more name I've got here, Beelzebub. Who knows what Beelzebub? Everybody heard that before, Beelzebub, referring to Satan. Let's look over here in Matthew 10:24-25. I got real excited studying this today. I was going over my scriptures again, just getting excited. I could preach really good tonight. I got a whole lot more we could say, and we will. This isn't the only time we have. Praise the Lord. I'm going to share this, but this is the other one. Beelzebub means the Lord of the flies or the Lord of the dung heap. Doesn't that sound like the devil? You know, you find out, you know, and it just seems like a big mess just hit me. It comes from him. He is not nice, but he doesn't have the last say. Amen. We do. Because where are we? Remember, we want to remember where we are. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above his power and any of his works. All right, verse 24 says this, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called their master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? They called him Beelzebub, or the one that's the Lord of the flies, the one that isn't good. Amen. It's of the dung heap. And that's because the devil stinks. And all his ways stink. Amen. He's not nice. He brings junk into our life, and he tries to deceive us with his nonsense. Let's go to chapter 12, just a little bit over there. 12:22-24 says, then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spake and saw. And all the multitude were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. They were accusing him that he was casting out the devil with the power of the devil. He said, you're like that lord of the flies, that devil, that stinky one that comes around. But Jesus could not have, because he went on, he said, every kingdom, verse 25, divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then would his kingdom stand? If I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. He said, no, it's not by Beelzebub. It's not by the prince of the devils, but by the power of the living God. I cast him out. For because God's kingdom, how many know when we walk in God's kingdom, he's not divided. His kingdom is one. When we walk in the love of God, there is a power that comes to us because God is what? He is love. And the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart and my heart by the Holy Ghost. And when we are submitted to God, we resist that enemy and he must flee. He must run from you and he will run from you as if he is in terror. In other words, he's not to terrorize us, we're to terrorize him. Hallelujah, because in whom we believed. See, I remember Brother Hagin telling the story about the lady whose daughter, she was young, I think, I don't remember the age exactly, but very young, you know, like 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there. And she was having these seizures. And she would have these seizures, very severe sometimes, for, you know, 45 minutes or an hour or more. Terrible seizures. And I remember Brother Hagin said he went and visited them and they just prayed and began to say this. Remember, we've been talking about submitting to God and the safety there can be in submission to God. And they began to say, the lady, the mother and the husband, the father, oh no, Satan, you can't work in our house. We're walking in love. We walk in the love of God. You have no power here. Why? Because the Bible says it's what? When there's strife comes in, then what? There's he comes in with every evil work. See, he works in the darkness. Well, when the darkness has no place in us, and we walk with God, we are submitted to him, and the love of God becomes supreme in our life, Satan has no power. He must go. And you know, that's all they said. And that girl, she didn't have any seizures for a long time. Then one day, started to come on her and said, oh no, we walk in love in this house. Immediately, the seizure left. See, there's a safety in the submission and in a power that comes to us when we are submitted to God. See, the devil knows. He knows when we're lying, when we are not telling the truth, when we're not being sincere with God. And he says, ah, yeah, I'll leave for you when you quit lying, see. When you stop cheating on your taxes. I don't lie. You know. And so that's what the enemy does. See, he comes, he's trying to say, oh, it's all right. Just a little bit of sin's okay, see? Because he's trying to neutralize you. He's trying to get you to compromise what the Word of God says. But when we will stand and guard our heart with the Word of God, he has no power, no authority in our life. We don't have to give him any. And when you say, Jesus, you have all authority here, Lord. All authority here, and God can use you to not just destroy the enemy in your life, but then as you continue to seek God, he can use you and slip you into those places of intercession where you destroy him and other people's lives. Hallelujah. What a joy to walk with our Father. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the truth of who you are in us, Lord, that the greater one lives in us, that, Father, we can surrender to you, Lord, to your lordship, to your word, to your truth, Father, and defeat every work of the enemy, every power that he tries to bring, Father, whether he tried to deceive us, Lord, whether he tries to come as an accuser, Father, whether he tries to come and say, hey, you're like Beliah, you're trying to use the power of the devil to cast out the devil, lying on us, accusing us, trying to torment our lives, Father. When we surrender, Father, all authority rests with us because you, Lord, back us up 100%, and your power forces him to run from us in fear. And we give you glory, Father, that you have won the victory. You have paralyzed him and brought his power to nothing in our lives. And Lord, we want to give you praise. We want to give you glory, Father, because we set our love upon your name, which is above every other name that the enemy may try to bring. Amen. And amen. God bless. All right. Woo. We get to go have ice cream. Woo-hoo.